Welcome, everybody. Good morning, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson results briefing for the 12 months to 30 June 2017. I'm Mark Dewdney, Chief Executive of PGW, and it is my pleasure to provide an overview of our results for the year. With me on the call are Peter Scott, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our Company Secretary. Before I begin, I just want to take a moment to thank the 2,300 outstanding individuals who make up the PGG Wrightson team for their continued hard work and dedication. On behalf of the board and the executive team, thank you. I plan to talk for about 15 to 20 minutes, then there will be time for questions at the end. So today I intend to cover the year's final financial results, the key themes that we see in our markets and across our customers that have led to these results, and finally, our thoughts on the year ahead. Before I start by recapping the key points from our announcement to the market earlier today, please note that I'll talk to both GAAP and non-GAAP financial performance measures. We use operating EBITDA as a key measure of performance, and I encourage you to refer to our full account for details of how this relates to GAAP measures. So the key financial highlights for the year were that operating EBITDA was 64.5 million. This result, which is near the midpoint of our guidance range, was achieved in the face of tough market and extremely challenging weather conditions. I'm really pleased by this result, and I'll come back to this in a moment. Net profit after tax was 46.3 million, which was approximately 2.5 million higher than last year. This brings our earnings per share up to 0.061. We've announced a fully imputed dividend of 0.02 per share, bringing the total fully imputed dividend paid for the year to 0.0375 per share. We consider this to be a very strong result for PGW. If I can take you back to this time last year, I had just announced a record result, but I cautioned of tougher market conditions ahead. In particular, confidence in the dairy sector was low. Whole milk powder was still very low, having just traded at $2,265 per ton. That's US dollars. With forecast milk payout at $4.25 a kg of milk solids at the time, many dairy farmers were preparing for their third successive season of below break-even returns. Confidence was high in beef and in horticulture, but the wool market had already begun its fall. Grain prices were low, and areas planted were forecast to shrink. These factors combined to lead to a cautious approach to spending from our farming clients. As our financial year unfolded, commodity prices strengthened, feed conditions were generally good, and confidence started to lift, with wool being the exception. However, this did not translate to higher spending from our clients. As is typically the way, farmers do not generally increase their budgets, and so the cautious spending continued. We're an agricultural business that is always exposed to the impacts of climatic conditions on the sector, and this year was no exception, as we experienced two major storm events in April in New Zealand, which is our key planting period. I believe that if you look at our track record over the past four to five years, you will agree that we manage the inherent sector volatility very well. I'm extremely proud of not only this year's result, but also what we have achieved over recent years. We have the most engaged team of people in the market, and their commitment and passion for agriculture is taking PGW to new levels. Throughout the year, I have observed our people working alongside their clients as I spend time at our businesses in New Zealand, Australia, and South America. I see them helping our clients improve the productivity of their farming and horticultural operations through their technical expertise and industry experience. This is especially satisfying as it has been our strategic focus for a number of years and is something we strive for across the business. Prior to autumn, we were tracking ahead of our forecasts, that the severe weather events in April across New Zealand negatively influenced our last quarter earnings. The very high rainfall made crops difficult to harvest and paddocks challenging to work. Our New Zealand seed and grain business was the most affected by these conditions. However, in a diversified business like PGW, when one business is facing difficult market conditions, another is typically performing well. Livestock in particular has had an impressive result. Retail performed extremely well, and our South American seed and grain business bounced back with a lift on last year's result. On the other side of the ledger, the performance of our wool business has been impacted by the continued fall in the global crossbred wool price. I will comment further on these sectors as we now turn our focus to our three operating segments. And just to remind you that the rural services segment is now split into two, agency and retail and water. The third segment remains seed and grain. So first we'll look at the agency segment. Our agency group comprises the livestock, wool, real estate and insurance businesses. Overall, agency's operating EBITDA decreased marginally by 1%, with revenues 14% down on last year. The livestock business, which is the largest unit within agency, delivered an impressive result with a record operating EBITDA as sustained international demand for protein and lower stock numbers have combined to push up livestock prices. Good levels of feed across New Zealand contributed further to the tight supply conditions in sheep and beef markets. Also, the recovery in the dairy sector led to a better dairy herd sales season than the previous year. We've also enjoyed impressive growth in our Go range of livestock products, and this has contributed to the earnings growth. But I'll talk more about that later on. In contrast, the performance of our wool business has been impacted by the collapse of the global crossbred wool price over the past 15 months, which has resulted in a New Zealand grower stockpile with much lower volumes of crossbred wool being sold. Our wool export business increased its profitability, but it was not enough to offset the reduction in our wool procurement and logistics business. We are now starting to see the first signs of a recovery in international wool demand, which is very pleasing. Our real estate business delivered a good result, very similar to last year. We saw growth in the rural property sales, which was aided by good sales in the lifestyle, residential and horticultural markets. Our insurance business performed well and broadly in line with the corresponding period last year. On to retail and water. Retail and water's operating EBITDA decreased 9%, with revenues 2% higher than the same period last year. Retail performed extremely well. With spring being the key trading period for our rural supplies business, they were less affected by the autumn and winter rain across New Zealand. All three retail business areas, being rural supplies, fruit-fed supplies, and agri-trade, contributed to the excellent result, and it is particularly pleasing to see retail continue to extend its market share and profitability gains in a highly competitive market. In particular, our horticultural business continues to go from strength to strength. However, this terrific performance by the retail business was offset by reduced revenues and earnings for the construction part of our water business. This was due to a continued reduction in demand for major irrigation projects. During the year, we restructured our water business, and we expect that these internal changes and a lift in confidence in the dairy sector will see an improvement in water's performance in the coming year. So turning now to Seed and Grain Group. Seed and Grain's operating EBITDA reduced by 12%, with revenues 7% lower than last year. Weather is always a key factor in the performance of our seed and grain business, and F17 was no exception. Our New Zealand seed and grain business was affected by the severe weather conditions during autumn and winter of this year. For our seed business, autumn demand for our seed products has been less than expected, as many farmers were simply unable to complete their regrassing and autumn pasture renewal plans. In grain, much lower harvest yields have reduced earnings from our processing and drying facilities. South America bounced back with a pleasing lift on last year's operating EBITDA. This result is particularly pleasing, as it was achieved despite low commodity prices and difficult financial circumstances for many of our South American customers following a tough year in F16. In Australia, a mild summer in the key dairy regions of Victoria and low confidence in dairy prices reduced demand for pasture seed. So if I go to net profit now, net profit after tax of 46.3 million was approximately $2.5 million higher than last year's result of 43.8 million. Please note that the FY 2016 net profit after tax has been realigned upwards. This follows the reclassification of a portion of the defined benefit expense to reserves. While the effect on net profit after tax for the 2016 year was 4.2 million, the effect on our comprehensive income is nil, and the cumulative effect on net profit after tax since the 2014 year is only 73,000. Earnings per share increased to 6.1 cents per share. Like FY16, our FY17 NPAT benefited from a number of gains on sale from our property divestment program. This program is now largely complete, so we are expecting a more normalised level of NPAT in the coming year. If I move to cash flow from operating activities reduced 14.7 million to 20.5 million. After spending 19.9 million on capital expenditure and investments, realising 26.8 million from the sale of non-strategic assets, making a defined benefit superannuation plan cash contribution of 7.6 million, our net interest-bearing debt increased only by 1.7 million to a total of 128.2. In our view, that's a good result, and leaves us in a position where our balance sheet remains very strong. Our property divestment program, which began in 2015, is largely complete. So far, we've realised $43 million in cash from the program by selling and leasing back property that had a net book value of $29 million. As a result, our property lease expense has increased by $3 million over the past 2 financial years. Whilst increasing lease expenses has created a short-term headwind on EBITDA growth for us, we believe that strategically this is the right thing to do. By redeploying this capital back into the growth paths of our business, we have created a platform for earnings growth over the medium to long term. This capital has been invested into a new seed logistics centre in Uruguay, into AgroCentro, which is our retail-focused joint venture in Uruguay and Paraguay, and into a number of other smaller acquisitions and initiatives. We've also strategically invested in our working capital in targeted areas. For instance, our Go range of livestock products have grown from a zero base in November 2015 to an asset balance of $32 million of receivables as at 30 June 2017. Go Beef and Go Lamb are two exciting products launched by our livestock team that are disrupting traditional livestock financing products out there in the market. How it works is our farm clients buy store lambs or store cattle through our agents, but they don't pay for them until they sell them back through us. We retain title to the growing animal to mitigate our credit risk, but the client takes on the price risk and all general farming risks. In exchange for the deferred payment terms, the client pays us a fee and we get to trade the animals both on the way into the farmer and on the way out. The average deferred terms of the collections are 104 days for go lamb and 185 days for go beef. The residual risk to PGW is very low. We hold the title to the animals that are putting on weight and therefore gaining in value. These products have proven to be very popular with farmers and agents alike. But this popularity has caused our working capital and therefore our debt to grow. Over the 2017 financial year, our net interest-bearing debt has grown modestly by $1.7 million to $128.2 million. However, if you remove the effect of the growth in the Go assets, our remaining debt has reduced $19 million over the period to $95.8 million, which is a great result. On to dividend. The company has declared a fully imputed final dividend of 2 cents per share, which will be paid on the 4th of October 2017. This will bring the total fully imputed dividends paid for the year to 3.75 cents per share. I'd like to move on now to the outlook. As we enter our 2018 financial year, market conditions are improving. The weather impact on autumn planting has affected many New Zealand farmers, and the implications of this both on the supply of livestock and crop production will be a key factor in the year ahead. We believe that the negative effects of the tough 2017 autumn will result in increased activity in spring and autumn of this financial year as farmers need to replant crop and grass to recover, you know, the damage caused through this winter. In South America, we have seen a positive recovery this year, but the long-term effects of the April 2016 flooding on farmer confidence and their demand for inputs is likely to remain a constraint in the near term. Weather across New Zealand, Australia and Uruguay will continue to be a key driver, as it always is in agriculture. In New Zealand, it is pleasing to see signs of improving confidence in a number of key agricultural sectors, and the early indications for our 2018 financial year are looking encouraging. Rabobank's Rural Confidence Survey released in June saw net rural confidence in New Zealand at its highest levels since the survey commenced in 2003. With a buoyant horticultural market, strong global beef market, and a greatly improved milk price forecast for the 2018 season, we see positive indicators to underpin that optimism. Whilst it is early days, we believe that financial year 2018 will see an improved EBITDA performance for PGW compared to FY 2017. We do expect net profit after tax to reduce to a more normalised level, as we will not have gains from the divestment of properties. And as is our custom, it is our intention to provide more information on our progress, including an earnings forecast at the time of the annual shareholder meeting scheduled for 31 October. This concludes our presentation, and very shortly I'll hand the line back to the operator so they can introduce your questions. Before I do that, I'd like to sincerely thank all of our staff and our customers for their continuing support. This has been a marvellous result in a tough year, and it has been my absolute privilege to talk to you all about it today. Thank you very much. Operator, back to you.
Thank you, Mark. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you would like to cancel your request, you can press the pound or hash key. Our first question comes from the line of James Baskin from Forsyth Barr. Please ask your question.
Thanks, moderator, and thank you, Mark, and congratulations on the result. I think it's ahead of certainly where I was expecting, given your comments in June. A couple of questions. Firstly, around the irrigation business, what's the pipeline, I guess, looking like at the moment relative to what was a very weak year last year, and how should we think about the water contribution in fiscal 17 versus what we might, from a normalised perspective, this year?
Yep.
Good question. So the pipeline today has more forward activity in it than it did this time last year, but it is still back on the levels of activity that we would have typically had in the pipeline 3 to 4 years ago. So, you know, there is a recovery happening in demand, but not yet back to the levels that we were seeing, you know, when the South Canterbury project irrigation programs were running, you know, at full speed, and, you know, when dairy prices were last up at $8 levels. And I think I would also say when there was kind of slightly lower focus around, you know, the environmental issues supporting water. So pipeline recovering, but still not at the historical levels. In F17, we did a lot of restructuring in our water business. We merged it in with our retail operations. We, you know, took a number of provisions around inventory that had, you know, that we assessed as not having, you know, the value that we had carried it on our books into that merger. And so there were a number of one-off costs that went through water. But on the positive side, there are also a number of savings that we will generate going forward from, you know, integrating warehousing, sales, logistics, supply chain into retail. So, you know, water was in a loss-making position in F17. We're confident that that will go back into profit in F18, and we see recovery from there, but probably, you know, not to the levels that we experienced back in, say, 13 and 14 for, you know, for a few years. We would need, you know, a couple of significant irrigation schemes to open up, and you know, there was a period there where we thought Ruatanifa may come through, but that looks increasingly unlikely. But, you know, there is some development, as you know, down in the South Island, so I hope that covers your...
Yes, it does, Mark. Thank you. Just further that, can you give us an indication of what the earnings or the EBITDA was for water in 17? So we get a scale of, you know, 2 or 3 million EBITDA negative, perhaps, that can come back if you get to a break-even position.
Yeah. So James, as you know, we don't give that level of profitability out at individual business units. You know, it's covered in the segment, but I'm happy to say that, you know, to be transparent and say that water did record a loss in F17, and we're extremely confident that that's going back up into profitability next year.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Secondly, from a guidance perspective, in June in the release, you indicated that the expectation, or I guess the broad goal, was to come close to the fiscal 16 near record result. I assume that commentary stands despite not being explicit in the result announcement today.
You're talking about for F18?
Correct.
Yeah, so what we're saying at this point in time for F18 is that we expect earnings to be higher than F17, but we need to get a couple of months into the year just to see how the spring looks like it's going to pan out, and we'll put a number range around it at the AGM in October, as we always do.
James, just to add a little bit to that, so Mark's talking there about operating EBITDA. If you look at net profit after tax, both 16 and 17 had significant gains in them, so we wouldn't imagine that we would have those kind of gains in F18. So net profit after tax will go back to a more normalised level, so it'll be lower than both 17 and 16.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And James, what we said at this time last year was that we'd had a record year profitability-wise in F16. We believed that F17 was going to be lower as a consequence of, you know, what was happening, what we were seeing happening in our markets. In October at our AGM, we set the range 62 to 68. Going into autumn, we were trading at the top end of that range, but we think autumn conservatively, you know, probably took about $5 million of EBITDA you know, out of our various businesses, just the, you know, the impact of that of weather over that prolonged period of time.
Excellent. Thanks very much, guys. I'll let some others ask questions.
Our next question comes from the line of Carl Yuyo from SNZC. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Mark. Congratulations to the team PGW in battling the elements, so to speak, for much of FY17 and still coming up with a tremendous result. I've got a couple of questions. One is in relation to your Gold Range product. Is it possible to give us a sense of what percentage of your customer base has actually started to use that, and where do you think sort of 2 or 3 years from now the ultimate goal is to, in terms of the receivable levels that you ultimately get to?
Yeah, so I'll answer this in a couple of ways. I don't know what percentage of our customer base would be using the product, but the majority of our agents have used the product for, you know, some of their clients. So the pleasing thing is we've got uptake across our agents with this product. When we were offering financing in partnership with Heartland, there was very low levels of uptake. So this product is simple, and you know, people understand it and they're very comfortable with it. We've set an internal limit inside PGW of around that $30 million. You know, that's the level that we are comfortable with at the moment. You know, there is more demand out there, so we're capping this product at that level, you know, in terms of our overall balance sheet management. You know, and you know, we'll just make decisions going forward about you know, whether we take on more or we don't. But we'll take those decisions in the context of, you know, how we see our overall balance sheet and how we see the livestock market.
Right. My second question is just trying to get a sense of how the community outside of the Canberra region is responding to this mycoplasma bovine issue, whether that's sort of put everyone on guard in terms of testing their herd as such more vigorously than they have in the past. It'll be useful to try and get a sense of what the coalface is feeding back into your team.
Yeah, look, I can only give you general comments. Obviously, there is there's high awareness and concern, you know, out there as a consequence of the discovery of this disease on, you know, a small number of farms contained within the one farming group. You know, there's a lot of work going in, led by MPI and others, to, you know, try to understand the source of it. People are just, you know, they're just cautious. They want to understand. We haven't seen it yet translate in any way through to our business units. But I would just say that everybody's just waiting, watching, and you know, wants to understand this. But I haven't seen any signs of it changing the way that that dairy farmers are running their business or making decisions around, you know, inputs and farm supplies.
That's helpful. And question perhaps for Peter. Peter, in terms of the lease expenses, Mark mentioned earlier on an increase of around $3 million over the past 2 years. Is there still more sort of rollover effect into FY18 compared to what you had paid out additionally in FY17 on in terms of sale and leaseback arrangement that you've executed in the last 2 years?
Yeah, KE, there will be some further impacts because one of our Ashburton sites wasn't sold and settled till the end of February. So there's really only from March to June in there, and that's one of the bigger sites. So you would expect that in the F18 year we will have probably a little more in terms of leasing costs.
Yeah.
But largely we're through the retail side of things. We haven't got very many more properties in the retail part of the business to actually sell and lease back. So as Mark said, 3 million is probably getting towards the maximum level, but it might be another, 500 to 1 million extra coming through in the next in F18 going forward.
Right, and just finally on funding costs, on the back of this Go Range or Go Livestock product that's now on offer, the additional $30 million in round number terms on books, should we think of it in terms of the funding costs, in terms of you carrying higher debt, one that will pick up the full level of interest rate that you normally borrow at from your various banks, commercial banks?
Yeah, Kay, we're funding that out of our New Zealand Australian banking facility, so it's the normal funding cost that we've got in there for that facility. There's not a specific one.
Right, and that's Mark mentioned in terms of the average deferment days, if I understood you correctly, Mark, 104 days for lamb, 185 days for cattle. That's basically effectively the amount of debt that you load onto your balance sheet as an average over the course of the year, as opposed to a full year impact, right?
The cattle are coming on and off the scheme the whole time. So our level of receivable, stays broadly the same over the year, broadly.
Right.
But in each individual loan in support of a transaction, on average, lasts for 104 days or 185 days. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, that's helpful
to understand. And the other point I'd make there, Kay, is we make three margins on the Go product. We make a margin when we sell the cattle into the farmer who is going to rear them. We make another margin when that farmer sells the cattle back out, because they have to sell back through us. So, we get two margins there, which arguably we might not have got any if the financing hadn't been available. And we make a margin on the on the interest cost that is embedded in the loan, essentially, for those 104, 185 days.
That's great. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, it's just star one on your telephone keypad. We do have a follow-up question from James Baskin from Forsyth Barr. Please ask your question.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah, just a follow-up question on the property sales. Peter, you suggested that you were largely through sales in the retail business. I guess we've discussed opportunities previously around the livestock division, around sale yard consolidation in particular. Is there anything else worth highlighting as far as opportunities in that space over the next year or so?
James, we are looking at our sale yards, of course, and we did have one sale yard sale in the 2017 year, actually. But I would say that in 2018, it's unlikely that we would have anything any disposals of sale yards in 2018.
Nothing material.
No.
Okay, thanks, guys. And actually, just one final question. Has there been is there any expectation around timing of leadership announcements, given, Mark, that you're earmarked to depart at the end of the year?
Yeah, so I'll finish at the 31st of October, which is our AGM. That'll be my last sort of full-time day, if you like. The board have appointed a search firm, an international search firm. They are underway. We expect to see a long list of candidates in early September, and we're targeting interviews of shortlisted candidates in early October. And then, of course, as you know, it depends where the successful candidate comes from, whether it's internal or external, what their notice period is. But the board are working on it, and as I say, there is an international search firm that is that's engaged and is conducting the search.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference back to today's presenters for some closing remarks.
All right. Thank you, Josephine. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance today. Thank you for your continued support for our business. As I said, in summary, we're very happy with the result that we were able to generate last year, given the context of the markets and the environment that we were working in. The business is in very good heart. Our strategies are clear. They're being implemented well by committed staff throughout the business, and we're confident that earnings will increase in FY18. Thank you very much.